Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for a new way to talk. Here's Medal of Honor recipient, David
Bellavia.
No, that's not it.
David Bellavia.
That's not how you pronounce it.
Staff Sergeant David Bellavia.
Really? That's how you're going to pronounce it?
David Bellavia.
Ah, come on.
David Bellavia.
It's David Bellavia on WBEN.
Welcome to the program. Happy Friday. We've got so much going on today. We're going to talk about these dueling... The dueling town halls yesterday. It's what everyone's talking about. We've got Buffalo Bills news. We've got Dr. Gosi's sentencing. We'll talk a little bit about opioids. But first, it's Friday. That means one thing. His Twitter feed is at Sales Sports. His day job is WGR, doing radio. But he also moonlights working on the sidelines of every Buffalo Bills football game. By the way, that has now become the first row in the stadium of every Buffalo Bills football game. No one knows the Bills more than Mr. Sal Capaccio. Sal, thank you for taking time out of your day. Look, big heartbreaking news. I don't know if anyone... This was the equivalent of finding $20 in your pocket if it would have happened. You know, I don't know how anyone could be disappointed with something that wasn't even a possibility a week ago, but... Le'Veon Bell chooses the Kansas City Chiefs over the Bills and the Dolphins. The Atlantic broke the story early on that it was down to the Dolphins and KC. Was this a money issue? It couldn't have been a personality issue because they were contemplating it.
It might have been a money issue, but I think if it was truly about money, he probably would have went to the Dolphins. Apparently, they were actually offering him a pretty big deal or bigger deal. I'm not sure what the Kansas City Chiefs offered him. He was a free agent because he was released, so he could sign for whatever contract. As opposed to trading for him, a team would have had to take on his contract. You know, you trade the player and the contract in that situation. So nobody wanted to do that. He still owed a lot of money. He gets released. Now you can sign him to your own deal. He has a house in Miami. He trains down there. I thought maybe that would have been where he'd go. He'd get more opportunity to run the ball. But, you know, he goes from the worst team in the league to the Super Bowl champions. Boy, good gig if you can get that. And now he gets to play and challenge for a ring again with the Kansas City Chiefs again, I should say, where they'll be doing that. But look, I think it says a lot about the Bills to be in this chase on a couple of things, a couple of reasons. Number one, just from the standpoint of he would consider that means that's the status of the Bills right now. I think the Bills fans should be very happy that a player like that would consider coming to Buffalo and knowing that, you know, he wants to win and he believes that that could be a contender. The other part is it shows that the Bills are ready to strike. I think they really believe this is their window to contend for a championship and they wanted to, you know, go all in. This, to me, the way I tweeted it, Dave, was... this was a go-for-it move by a team with a go-for-it mindset right now. It didn't work out, and that's okay. Like you said, it's like found money, and you just didn't find that money, I guess.
And, you know, one of the things that come along with the hype of 4-0, then 4-1, you know, look, it was a national game. If you're going to have a bad day, let's everyone get in on it. You know, get it all out of your system, fumble the kick returns, do whatever. But, you know, when you look at that game, the national televised audience, the fact that everyone's attention is on it, high stakes. But, you know, as this season goes on with the flex schedule, there could be opportunities where more primetime games, you never know, COVID could pop up. Indianapolis just got hit today, Atlanta the day before. You could have a primetime game that isn't on the schedule. These things happen, but there's a lot of attention on the Buffalo Bills. Expectations are high, and when you don't meet expectations or come close to expectations, It's tough. I really thought that your analysis, though, was fair. It was spot on. You're not a homer. You're not a guy who's a doom and gloom guy. But one of the problems that you see, injuries, the Bills end up losing more key players than the Titans did, and they had COVID. When I look at as far as the people coming back, saw John Brown, we saw Matt Milano. Who's going to be ready for Monday?
Well, hopefully those guys, but we don't know. Obviously, Matt Milano's dealing with a pec injury, and they didn't put him on IR, which was always a sign to me that they felt he could return in a couple of weeks, because IR means your minimum 3 weeks. They didn't do that to open up a roster spot, so I think that felt encouraging to me, and we'll see now. You know, one thing is, with all of the changes that happened, and it did stink for the Bills to not have a Thursday night game against Kansas City here at home. I think fans were really looking forward to that. But in a way, it is beneficial now that they actually get an extra 4 days to get these guys healthy. You know, so we'll see if they can come back and play on Monday. The loss of John Brown was huge. There's no doubt about it, against the Tennessee Titans. Look, if you've watched this team play this year, you know what their identity is. They strike downfield. They go for it. They attack. They spread the football around. They didn't have that ability against the Titans. They didn't have that guy, John Brown, to take the top off the defense. And the Titans knew that, and they made the Bills work for everything they could get, keep everything underneath, and then wait for them to make a mistake. And the Bills made mistakes, and the Titans really didn't make any mistakes. And then, obviously, Tre'Davious White on the defensive side, you know, what it is it's a domino effect, right? I mean, if you don't have Tre'Davious White, now suddenly Josh Norman, who is really supposed to be a complementary number two corner, he has to become your number one corner. And then on top of that, Dave, people don't realize Cam Lewis, the kid out of UB, who I think he's played pretty well. I've been impressed with him, you know, through training camp or whatever. That was his first ever defensive, like, snaps ever in the NFL.
Yeah, you actually said you were more impressed with Cam Lewis than you were Josh Norman.
100%. And I think Cam Lewis deserves playing time going forward. I'm not saying over Josh Norman. I mean, Cam Lewis actually, I thought Taron Johnson struggled. Maybe Cam Lewis plays the nickel, plays the inside, because Taron Johnson is your normal nickel corner, and for your listeners, and I don't mean to be condescending, but not necessarily a sports audience, your nickel corner is the guy that plays inside, not on the outside of the defense. He's more against the smaller guys, excuse me, in a lot of situations, who are playing inside the slot. But that said, Cam Lewis, his first ever NFL snap on defense, he had played some special teams, he has to go tackle Derrick Henry. Welcome to the NFL, kid. I mean, wow. Yeah. And I thought he played okay, but yeah. At least he went low on him.
That's the key.
That's right. It is not an excuse about the injuries. You're right. It did matter. The Titans were faced with some injuries. They had some issues they dealt with, too, with the COVID situation. But, you know, you go back to Saturday, Dave, and the Bills literally had no idea who or when they were playing last week. And
oh, I'm listen.
Never gone through something like that.
Sean McDermott is a professional, and there was bitterness. I felt bitterness in the press conference. Yeah. I thought there was a lot of subtext there. You very eloquently stated that you were upset. I really thought that the thing that upset me the most about that game, before the game even started, hearing Roger Goodell say that Tennessee didn't do anything wrong, that there's nothing, there's no blame here. They violated the NFLPA. They violated league rules by having offsite meetings and practices. I don't understand what I feel like the NFL, and today they're talking about changing the rules now for isolating, maybe keeping facilities open if there's one or two people sick. But I mean, there is a schizophrenia with Roger Goodell and COVID in the sense that Tennessee was an embarrassment to the NFL. It affected schedules all across the league. And, you know, you're basically going to give him a pass on it.
Yeah, it seems like that. He said his focus is more on keeping safety than punishing, right? I mean, that's the way that they're framing this. So I get that. I understand that. And I think there's a bit of a reluctance maybe to punish the players themselves because, you know, I think people at least understand in some way that the players feel like, hey, I can't go out there with 2 weeks of no practice and then play a game. I could get hurt. I need to do something to stay in shape. So the players got together, and they shouldn't have. There's no doubt about that. But I still wouldn't be surprised if the organization is punished in some way. I think the investigation is still going on. Now, even though Roger Goodell said that they don't want to focus on, you know, the punitive part of it, I do think that, you know, if they find out that the organization was negligent in allowing these guys to kind of go out and do that and not really kind of putting the clamps down on them, I do think that, excuse me, I'm sorry, I have to drink some water here.
Yeah, no problem.
I do think that the league could still punish them in some way.
You know, I wanted to talk to you about, you know, it's one thing to talk about sports, but I like talking to you about the stuff that's happening behind the scenes. You've played sports, you've coached sports, you cover sports. When you see someone emasculated the way that Josh Norman, I mean, the way the national media has, I've seen that stiff arm far more times than I saw. I thought Dawson Knox did a pretty good job against the Bengals. You see that a couple times. ESPN gave him an award for it, I think, when he did the stiff arm. But that was epic. The play didn't count. Nobody cares. It's going to be played forever. As a professional athlete, it's your ego is invested. There's millions of dollars on the line. But also, Josh Norman's a fiery guy. He's gotten in fights before. He's not afraid to, you know, state who he is and what he stands for. How do you recover from something like that?
It's a good question. I mean, you're right. You have to not let that linger. Now, look, by the nature of the position he plays, he's supposed to have a short memory, right? I mean, we always say it. Cornerbacks need to have a short memory because when you get beat on a play, you can't let it linger. But that's something that he's probably going to see for a long time. People are going to remind him of it for a long time. It's going to be, you know, memes on the internet, basically, and him getting stiff-armed. And it was a great play. And, you know, give Derrick Henry a lot of credit. I actually went to practice yesterday with that very intention of what you just asked, which is watch Josh Norman and see, like, is he, I don't know. I don't know. You can say, like, is he kind of sulking? I wouldn't expect that. But it didn't seem like there was anything abnormal about, you know, the way he went out there and performed. He has to just forget about it. That's going to happen. When you are a professional athlete and you're in the spotlight, heck, Dave, when you're a radio host and hosting on, you know, a news radio station, you're going to have people sometimes who just want to take shots at you, don't like you. You know, it happens. It happens to me. It happened to me the other day. I saw some crazy thread about me on a message board and someone, you know, hammering me and talking about me personally. And it's like, come on, like, what are you doing? But we have to be above that and say, who cares what that person thinks? I got to do what I do and know what I do best. And I think Josh Norman, any professional athlete who gets beat, any professional athlete who is getting all the people coming at them from different ways and social media, and people just try to get under your skin, he's just going to have to get beyond that and get on to the next game. And that's what makes these guys really elite at what they do, is to being able to kind of process that and move on and still be great.
Now, John Feliciano, what is the status of his comeback? And if he does come back, does that move Winters or Ford off the guard spot?
So John Feliciano was on injured reserve. They moved him off injured reserve on October 7th. I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. He started practicing on October 7th. He is still on injured reserve. There is no maximum injured reserve. However, since he's already cleared the three-week time period of missing games, and he started practicing, they now have 21 days from that practice to put him on the active roster. That puts him at October the 7th count. So October 27th is the day that they would have to activate him to the active roster by. I don't know if they plan on doing that this week. I don't know if they plan on doing that next week. But basically, that's the time period. If he's not activated by then, he goes back on injured reserve, and he's going to miss at least a minimum of another three games. I think when he comes back, he starts at right guard. I think they miss him. They miss his physicality. They miss his demeanor. This is not a power run team. They don't have that ability as much as you would if you have a guy like John Feliciano. Not saying that Brian Winters has done a bad job, but the Bills have shuffled the deck on the offensive line. I think John Feliciano is a big part, a big piece of what they want to do. So overall, as a time period, they have until October 27th to activate him. He is still practicing, but in the meantime, he is still actually on injured reserve, which means that they don't count him on the active roster.
You know, recently, Sal Capaccio joins us. At Sal Sports is the Twitter handle. You know, I've heard so much about how Star Latuilai is missed. I never heard any of these things when he was playing. I guess that's a great compliment to his effectiveness, is that, you know, he's clogging up two guys at a time. He allows other players on the line to do different things. But when you look at the folks that held out because of COVID for personal reasons, you know, everyone brings up Star Latuilai. EJ Gaines would be huge right now.
Oh, yeah. That's a great point. Now, here's the thing, though. The thing about EJ Gaines is he's never been healthy enough to finish a season, right? I mean, he just always seems to get hurt. And he even went to Cleveland last year, and then he got a concussion. He missed the year, basically. You know, in Buffalo, I thought he was really good when he played for the Bills a few years ago, but then he got hurt. He had a soft tissue injury, come back at another one. They re-sign him. He gets hurt in training camp. So I'm not so sure, you know, they could rely on him to be healthy enough to play. But I agree that if he is healthy, that's a guy that, hey, people didn't realize that how much you might be stretched thin at cornerback. Well, there's a corner right there that could help you right now, provided he'd be healthy. So, yeah, I mean, look, you're facing the world champion Kansas City Chiefs on Monday. Patrick Mahomes, who is incredible with all of those weapons, and Tyreek Hill and Mecole Hardman and Travis Kelce. Sammy Watkins won't be playing. He's got a hamstring injury. Another guy that's been hurt, you know, quite often. We know that in Buffalo. So, you know, you need all hands on deck here, and you especially need a guy like Tre'Davious White. And Josh Norman has to play better. There's no doubt. And Taron Johnson has to play better. And if not, you know, we'll see. Cam Lewis might have to step up in one of those guys' spots.
Now, you know, we just heard Erie County Executive Mark Polenkar say that the Bills fans don't see that any, you know, in the near future. You're down there. You're not hearing what we're hearing on television, of course. What, I mean, talk about the difference that 11th man really makes in a football game, or the 12th man makes in a football game. I mean, the crowd noise, especially on a nationally televised game, the fans, that really is a difference maker, especially when it comes to offsides penalties and, you know, taking timeouts at the end of the game. These are important, you know, they can actually have tactical, you know, you can sway momentum just by your crowd noise.
Yeah, one thing I'm always impressed with is how teams can kind of just go on silent counts and things like that. But what they can't do is they can't really change a lot of their calls. You know, there's not enough sound. They can't hear them. If you try to, you could give.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Now, some teams can do it with hand signals, and they do that and things like that, but it absolutely is a factor when it comes time for your defense on the field at a home game, the other team's offense, and then they're trying to change things. They're trying to get the snap count and the audibles, things like that. It absolutely can have a factor. But I think it also, and we've seen this year, Dave, I think there's an emotional element that's been missing. And the Bills have had leads at halftimes of games, like against the Rams. They come out and they don't maintain it. Against the Jets, the third quarter, the Jets played well. And I think if the Bills had that emotion to really feed off of with the crowd instead of the lull, I think that would have helped them a lot.
Thank you. That is Sal Capaccio every Friday at 9. At Sal Sports is the Twitter feed. As always, Sal Capaccio, who was wonderful on Channel 4, by the way. He does TV and radio. Excellent job. Sal Capaccio, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate you. We are going to talk about the dueling town halls. I have so many notes. I've done the research for you. Your analysis provided for you, regurgitated. Welcome back to the program. Dueling town halls yesterday was supposed to be a debate. Wasn't a debate. News broke earlier that Steve Scully, who was the moderator of what would have been yesterday's debate, Steve Scully of C-SPAN. Do you remember Steve had that tweet at Anthony Scaramucci saying, hey, should I respond to Trump? And he said he was hacked. Of course, he also said that in 2012 when he was recommending weight loss in 2013. Another time that things got a little personal on his Twitter page. Well, the FBI got called in. You know you're in trouble when your boss is like, oh, no, I believe you. I'm just going to ask the FBI to look at your Twitter account if that's cool. Can I see your phone? Oops. Guess what? Steve Scully's a dirty, dirty liar. He's lying. He's a liar. In journalism, a liar is a bad thing. Ask Brian Williams. Wait a minute. He still has a job? Oh, I'm sorry. So liars aren't exactly thrown out of the business when they're caught lying. Unbelievable. Honestly, Trump pulled out of this debate. It became dueling town halls. NBC under a tremendous amount of scrutiny for even offering a town hall meeting to President Trump. Hollywood went crazy. Letters, open letters in the Hollywood Reporter and Daily Variety. Of all of that to come down, the strangest thing is, even if this debate would have gone on, the Scully lie would have eliminated him as a moderator. I mean, the debate wouldn't have happened anyway because of Steve Scully, not because of Donald Trump. You can't have a debate moderator. The whole thing is absurd. But it was a town hall. You had George Stephanopoulos, ABC News, over on Channel 7 with Joe Biden. On Channel 2, you had President Trump with Savannah Guthrie of the NBC News Today Show. One of them actually had a debate. It was President Trump and NBC. And the first 15 minutes, absolutely nothing. We're talking about the President of the United States, a presidential election. You could say a generational election. And the first 15 minutes of that program were, and I gotcha on, when was the last time you tested negative and do you remember? Then the President of the United States was asked to once again denounce white supremacy. We have played this audio for you ad nauseum. We have shown at least 7 different occasions that I could find audio of President Trump has denounced white nationalism, the KKK, and white supremacy. So now the new shift is what? Question about QAnon. Here it is. Jonathan Karl, ABC News, has you covered.
He needs to do something dramatic to change. And frankly, he did not do that last night. He had a chance to respond to some very tough questions. Actually, I thought it was probably one of his better appearances. But then he went off kind of almost praising the conspiracy theorists of QAnon. He offered very little specifics.
Oh, QAnon. Do you know what QAnon is? Because I honestly don't follow conspiracy theories. I'm going to tell you something about conspiracy theorists. There's something special about someone who believes conspiracies enough to spread them. There's a lot going on, you know, psychologically there, right? I mean, it just says something about a personality. It says a lot about a human being of, I believe something and I believe that information is being held back. Not all conspiracy theories are wrong. There have been a lot of conspiracy theories that have proven to be true. But understand that it's no longer a theory at that point. When you're talking about QAnon, we've identified them as pig farmers in Australia. I mean, it's no exaggeration. These are not the people that they claim to be. Throwing out information that Donald Trump, pedophiles, and Democrats, and all this other nonsense. Again, fog. We're running for president. There are so many issues to talk about. This is what they're focused on. This is what they want to discuss. Now, take all that. And let's move back over to Channel 7. Let's go right back to ABC News. There's George Stephanopoulos. An hour and a half of ABC News coverage. ABC News, who provides us a service here on WBEN. ABC News has an hour and a half of Joe Biden town hall, half an hour longer than Donald Trump has. Interesting is that at the end of the 2-hour presentation, I see Joe Biden standing up, answering questions from people I haven't seen in the audience. They didn't ask questions before. He continues to answer questions. There's no feed of the answers. We go to a panel of ABC News people that talk for the last 25 minutes over pictures of Joe Biden answering questions of people in that town hall. Why was that editorial decision made? If you're going to do 2 hours of Joe Biden in a town hall, let's see 2 hours of Joe Biden in a town hall. Why it needed to cut away with video footage, live footage of Joe Biden answering questions is I'm blown away by that. But truly, what I think is maybe the most embarrassing display of journalistic integrity is the ABC News George Stephanopoulos decision to not ask a single question, even if it's a softball question, even if you are going to err on the side of Twitter and Facebook that unilaterally made a decision that a story is fake. They didn't ask a single question about it. Not a single question. Donald Trump is asked about raping 15 women. Donald Trump was asked about his debt, his personal debt, and what foreign countries he owes money to. None of that information is based on fact. You have what you believe is an IRS tax return. You heard from Larry Lawler. I brought Lawler Murkowski CPAs. That's all they do is the IRS. And what did they tell you? How do you have possession of my tax return? Explain that to me. Is that Russian interference? Is that Chinese interference? Who leaked it? Why aren't they in handcuffs? None of those questions are being asked. Yet, we know that we have Hunter Biden's hard drive, and we know there's sex tapes on it. We know that there's tawdry pictures of him smoking crack and lit cigarettes, screaming, "I'm divorced. Look at me going through a midlife crisis." Hunter Biden has his personal demons. We know that. But the emails on there are pretty outrageous. No longer is the Biden camp denying that that is actually happening. They're not saying that they're illegitimate emails. But here's the story ABC News is running with.
Current and former Trump administration officials told ABC News his December 2019 trip to and contacts in Ukraine raised alarms that Rudy Giuliani had become a pawn of Russian intelligence. Giuliani had been fishing for dirt on Joe and Hunter Biden. The warning, first reported by the Washington Post, was passed to the White House by National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien, who characterized any information Giuliani brought back from Ukraine as tainted. This week, the New York Post published unverified emails and photos the paper said it obtained from Giuliani. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
What's unverified about those emails? Unverified in what context? What do you say? The New York Post doesn't have the hard drive? They've gone through 20% of those emails. Is this not the same defense that the Pentagon Papers had, that we went to court and determined even if you stole confidential military internal memos about the war, we've got Americans dying in Vietnam, someone gets a hold of confidential, top secret memos from generals to members of the White House to the Department of Defense, and the Washington Post gets a hold of that, they publish the Pentagon Papers. And the courts say it doesn't matter what ways you got that information. If you're trying to show, if you're trying to share them in efforts of journalistic, you know, prowess, if you're pushing it for journalistic purposes to inform the public, that is protected under the First Amendment, freedom of speech. I should say freedom of the press. That's the ruling on the Pentagon Papers. So you could break into someone's house, you could hack someone, you could do whatever you want if it is actionable. And we've seen this for 3 years in the Trump administration. It doesn't matter how you got a hold of this information. Kavanaugh is accused of gang rape by three people who are they're known liars. No one's going back and going after the doctor from California who's afraid to fly but yet travels to Papua New Guinea twice a year. Couldn't fly to Washington to do a deposition and a lie detector test, but she flies to New Guinea and she flies to Thailand on vacation. All of these, no problem whatsoever. Share it. It's in the benefit of the people. ABC News, NBC News, MSNBC, CNN, they're covering Giuliani as a pawn of Russian intelligence. The crazy part of all of this is that Yi, the last name of the Chinese communist intelligence officer who now moonlighted in 2015 as a natural gas energy company. This guy Yi is not only a member of the Communist Chinese Party, which all companies that work for China in China are members, but he's also an intelligence officer who's in various pictures with the leader of China. And he is the one directly contacting Hunter Biden. Why does China operate that way? China's different than Russia. The communists are weird about how they drop money off, but the Chinese in particular, they will not give you a bribe of $1 million. It's too easy. You have to disclose it. You have to pay taxes on it. It's transparent. You can't hide it. The Clintons tried. They couldn't do it. By the way, that same Yi guy, the Chinese intelligence guy who's contacting Hunter Biden, who gives Hunter Biden $10 million a year just for introductions, he also gave the Clinton Foundation $100,000. Not that that world is small at all, but who cares? This Yi guy, right? How do they work it? They always hook your family up. Your family, Hunter Biden doesn't have to give disclosure. Hunter Biden doesn't have to fill out an FEC filed form 2. Hunter Biden can do whatever he wants. But who is Hunter Biden talking about? Why is Hunter Biden at the table? I mean, certainly, when we're talking about national security, Russia's access to the White House, what Russia did to elect Donald Trump, certainly when you're talking about access and information that can be used against you, blackmail, oh, I don't know, the son who's smoking crack and documenting his sexcapades on MP4 under a file that I can only assume with Hunter Biden's IQ, it's got to be sex tapes in his MacBook Pro. All of these things can be used as blackmail. Of course, these are legitimate questions. Ivanka's business is legitimate. Jared Kushner's business is legitimate. Eric and Donald Jr. are legitimate questions to ask whether or not the president of the United States is compromised. And you asked them for 3 years and continue to ask them. Right now, there's a story in the New York Times about Eric Trump's dealings with Ukraine, dealings with China. Isn't it funny? What have I told you from the very beginning? The left's critical Achilles heel is that they project everything they do. Everything they do. The Clintons were world famous. They're on the Mount Rushmore of projection. They accuse you of what they're doing. Why are we hearing about Ukraine? Trump was impeached on the basis of a phone call to Ukraine. We have on recording Joe Biden telling the Ukrainian leadership, if you don't fire this prosecutor, you're not getting your foreign aid of $1 billion. That is precisely the articles of impeachment and why they were filed against President Trump. That he was withholding foreign aid for political purposes. And now we have emails showing Hunter Biden talking to the very same people that this prosecutor was trying to investigate Hunter Biden in the Ukraine. And what is the left's argument? The left's argument is always the same. Well, the EU hated this attorney as well. I don't care if Pol Pot hated him. He's investigating the vice president's son. And you are refusing $1 billion until this guy is fired. It is the exact thing that you are accusing Trump of doing. So we have Savannah Guthrie hammering President Trump. Two things that the Trump campaign did yesterday that were brilliant and totally went right over the heads of NBC News. They stacked people behind the president. Oh, and they were women. And they were African-American and Hispanic women. And every time President Trump said something that NBC and the audience at NBC thought was repugnant, they were all giving thumbs up and clapping and nodding their heads in agreement. Behind Savannah Guthrie, there were Trump supporters that were disagreeing with her as she asked the question. That is the visual people saw for an hour on NBC News. They saw the President of the United States being grilled about his last negative test, being asked questions about a fictional person pretending to be a real person named QAnon, who's telling people to buckle up, and therefore that means that the space landing was fake and pro wrestling is real, whatever they believe. Whatever they believe. And you had people behind the president that they're watching, waiting for the president to sweat, waiting for the president to have a medical emergency. And all of these people are on the president's side. It was very damaging. He fought back. He pushed back. The last 40 minutes of the debate were brilliant. He dodged a lot of questions. Well, he didn't give answers, but he had reasons for not giving answers. Now, I'm not a big fan of that. I think he should just answer the question. If you ask a pro-lifer, do you want to reverse Roe v. Wade? Well, what do you think? I'm against abortion, but I'm for it. I'm like, what? If you're pro-life, you're pro-life. You're pro-choice, you're pro-choice. But you can't be pro-life and for Roe v. Wade. But what was his answer? His answer was, anything I say, you're going to manipulate and you're going to think I'm sending signals to Amy Coney Barrett. And by the way, as President Trump stated, I didn't ask her any questions. That's not what Barack Obama did. That's not what Bill Clinton did. Every one of those Supreme Court justices that Clinton and Obama put on the bench had a series of questions to answer. I'm going to know every one of your opinions before I nominate you. Trump hasn't done that with Gorsuch. Trump didn't do it with Kavanaugh, and Trump didn't do it with Coney Barrett. Bush didn't do it. Obviously, he didn't do it with John Roberts. That's neither here nor there. There is a lot going on here. I want to get to polling numbers. I have done spent way too much time of my personal time running polling numbers, and I'm going to tell you something that is going to shock your world. You are being given numbers right now, and I want to get to what the actual hope. If you have hope as a Trump supporter, as a Biden supporter, it's going to come down to early voting, of course, but it's also going to be down to the comparison of 2016. 2016 and 2020. Are the Biden numbers higher than 2016? We know the results in 2016. I've ripped apart these numbers. I've got stuff for you. You're not going to hear it anywhere else. Only the analysis you can expect here on the show. 803-0930 is the number to call. We'll talk more about the town hall, and we'll talk more about these polling numbers right after this brief message.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.